Annis Dimmitt on August 19th, 2004 for the Michigan Women's Historical Summit. Okay. Well, let's just start with really basic information. Like, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Originally, I'm from Texas. I was living in Fort Worth, Texas at the time that I went into service.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing before you went in?
I worked for Montgomery Wards. I was a trouble clerk. Mm-hmm. And as a trouble clerk, we filled the orders that people sent in. And of course, people make mistakes. Mm-hmm. They'll look at an item on one page and take the information off of the other page. So my job was when the clerk tried to fill the order mm-hmm. and couldn't find what it said that they wanted, I made the corrections to the instructions, mm-hmm. and then they filled it with what I thought personally mm-hmm. that they wanted.
Is it usually right? Is it usually
figured
out?
Usually right. Oh yes, I wouldn't have my job very long if they hadn't been.
And when did you enlist? What year?
I enlisted February the 5th, mm-hmm. 1943,
mm-hmm. and
how old were you? Now I'm 84.
Okay, and how old were you when you enlisted?
I would have been 21. Mm-hmm. No. In 44, I would have been 22.
Okay, 22. Mm-hmm. And why did you decide to enlist in the
WAC? Well,
my
brother was at Pearl Harbor during the attack, mm-hmm. and of course that made quite an impression on him. I wanted to do something, mm-hmm. so I enlisted, and hopefully, I had the hope that sometime I would go where he was at Pearl Harbor. I never made it to Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
I finally got there.
I finally got there 2 years ago. But anyway, I enlisted, and I actually spent my full time here in the States. Mm-hmm. I was at Shepherd Field, and which is Wichita Falls, Texas. Mm-hmm. I took my basic training in Florida, at Boca Raton, Florida. Mm-hmm. And then from there, of course, I went to Wichita Falls, and from there, I was transferred up to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The Army always sent me north in the winter and south in the summer. So I spent time up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and they needed a teletype operator in down at the field at, let's see, what was it? It was at, it was in Florida, Barksdale Field. I don't know. Boca Raton Army Air Base in mm-hmm. Boca Raton, Florida. Mm-hmm. So they sent me down to there, and I was there until my discharge. I was discharged November the 22nd, 1945.
Okay, so just over 2 years, about 2.5
yeah,
years?
Yeah, it's close to 3 years.
Yeah.
I have a figure here somewhere. I'm not sure.
We can do the math later on. Can you just move your microphone to the other side?
Sure.
I'm sorry if you end up looking at me this
yes.
way. So why did you decide to go into the WACs instead of one of the other branches?
Well, they weren't taking women into the other service at times.
Right.
See, I was in the WAAC, which is the Women's Auxiliary mm-hmm. Army Corps, and then we were offered the chance to get out if we wanted to when they switched over mm-hmm. To the Army.
Right. Women's Army Corps.
Yeah, Women's Army mm-hmm. Corps. And I was there at in Wichita Falls at that time when they made the change and I stayed in.
Did you ever think about leaving? I know lots of women did at the time.
I thought about it, but to me, once you've committed yourself something, you're saying I made a mistake, and
right.
I didn't feel I had really made a mistake, that we were needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked as a teletype operator. In fact, as I took training in Dallas, Texas, while I was at Wichita Falls, they sent me to Dallas for training, and I was teletype operator there, and that's why I went up to Boca Raton, Florida, where I was the shift supervisor of the down there.
Mm-hmm.
The teletype office was always open 24 hours a day, so we had to always be there. In fact, we even had one hurricane warning while I was there. And we stayed on duty.
Did you?
Yeah, they took everybody else off the base. But I think we put them in the hospital because that was a secure building. But we stayed and rode it out there because of some reason they felt it was important to teletype operation deep in business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when I was discharged, I knew they needed teletype operators at the, it was the Air Training Command there in Fort Worth, Texas,
mm-hmm.
which of course is my hometown anyway. So I applied there and went back to work as a teletype operator.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they closed that down and moved it down to Barksdale Hill in Louisiana, why I transferred down there and eventually became the chief of the teletype office there.
Mm-hmm.
Where we had both military and civilian
mm-hmm.
working, and of course it was a 24-hour a day
right.
operation. We did the Western Union as well as the teletypes, and of course there being an the Air Training Command was on the base, and I was assigned to the base, but every evening we transmitted the teletypes for the Air Training Command, and we had a unit there, of course, where they did the decoding that was there at the base too. So I was there until I resigned to get married.
Mm-hmm. And that you were working for the military, not actually in the military?
No, I was working for the military
them.
At that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I resigned when we got married. And I went back to work for a short period of time at the Marine Hospital in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And then when our youngest one was in school, we decided that in order to put five children through college, I was going to go back to work. So having the military background and being familiar with that,
mm-hmm.
I went to work for the VA hospital there in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And worked for the VA hospital, and then from there I was transferred down to Austin, Texas, where I worked 3 years in Austin, Texas, and then from Austin we went to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and from Fort Wayne, Indiana, I worked I worked in the supply service there. I was worked on contracts, and from there they needed someone at Marion, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
which is Marion, Indiana,
right.
And I went down to Marion, Indiana and became the chief supply service there. And then they needed the purchasing contract. I'm sorry, I was chief of the purchasing mm-hmm. contract. And then they needed an assistant chief of supply service at Bath, New York. Mm-hmm. And we wound up back in New York State at Bath, New York. Mm-hmm. And then ran into problems. I ran into problems with my hands. Mm-hmm. And and by that time, it was just better to retire. Yeah. So I retired in 1982, November 1982, and then moved back to Fort Wayne, and we lived in Fort Wayne for years until my husband could retire, mm-hmm. and we moved here. Because my oldest daughter and her husband were here, and we visited up here for off and on over the mm-hmm. years. And my husband had always said he'd love to live in a college town. Mm-hmm. He was a salesman, mm-hmm. and he had all Western New York that he covered. He did office and banking equipment. Mm-hmm. That's where I got the experience in contracting, mm-hmm. was through him, working with him at mm-hmm. home, and helping him to keep records and so forth. So I was there, and so I was his assistant chief down there at Bath, New York, mm-hmm. When I retired. And we moved up here, and we've been here now for, since 84, so we've been here 20 years.
And, so you've moved more than anybody I've ever met, I think.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, because we were married in 1947, mm-hmm. August the 2nd, in Detroit, and almost immediately went to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. We were in Buffalo 25 years. Most of the other places, 3 years.
Right. But, did you move because you were transferred around, or did your husband?
We moved to Buffalo because my husband was transferred with the company he worked for. Mm-hmm. He worked for the Lefty Bureau Corporation out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Mm-hmm. And then the other transfers were due to my job. Mm-hmm.
And he was able to work.
And he was able to transfer right. his job. And he didn't have a pension, and so we felt at that point that my pension was
right.
important
mm-hmm.
that we do the movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And so we have five children. We have our oldest daughter's here, mm-hmm. and then we have our youngest daughter is in Batavia, New York. Then we have. Our youngest son is in Annapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other two boys are down in Texas. Both of them are in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So we just sort of, but by the time we left, New York, the two oldest had already graduated. And the second one was close to graduation, mm-hmm. I mean, third one. And then we took, there's about oldest 5 years, the two younger ones are mm-hmm. young, but quite a bit younger than the others. And
we took them down, and they actually went to school there in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
They were in high school by the time we got to Austin. So they went to high school there, and then the youngest one we brought back up to Fort Wayne, and he graduated from the university there, University of Indiana at Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
So he graduated there.
Hmm.
And
they're all spread out.
Oh, they're all spread out. I guess it's the places to travel.
Exactly, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, let me go way back to when we first started talking. You said your brother was at Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor.
Did he come out okay?
He survived. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. When he was discharged, he was a chief petty officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives in Houston, Texas. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
He's been to most of the reunions there in Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
They had one just not too long ago, and he has gone back for most of those.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And how did your family feel when you decided to enlist into the Army?
Oh, my dad was very proud.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was very proud. And mm-hmm. both of his children were in the service.
Mm-hmm.
My father served in World War I one day.
Oh, really?
he was on a train to basic training when the war was declared over.
Well, that was lucky. Huh?
Yeah, so he was... And my husband and I now, actually, we worked together at Shepherd Field. We worked in the same office.
Mm.
We were there together for about a year, I think. It was close to
three years.
That's where we met. Mm-hmm. We actually became engaged, but we... called it off until after the war,
mm-hmm.
and then we got put back together after the war.
Well, would you have been allowed to have been married and still remained in the military?
I think they have to have permission, but I'm not even sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I even the way we became engaged, I think it was with the idea that we'd wait anyway until we were out of service.
Mm-hmm. And did your brother have any problems with his sister joining the military?
Did he think it was okay too?
Oh, he was actually, he had one leave where he visited me there at Shepherd Field. And of course, everyone was quite intrigued with him. We had, for some reason or other, we had a party, the division I was with, and he went to the party, and he was very well received,
mm-hmm.
even though he had on a Navy uniform.
Yeah.
But the fact that he had, everyone knew that he was stationed and there at Pearl Harbor, so he was very welcome.
Mm-hmm. You said you enlisted, was it primarily for patriotic kind of reasons, or?
Well, patriotic, and the fact that my brother was there at
mm-hmm.
Pearl Harbor, I think maybe...
Well, it's a personal attack.
Yeah, it's, I felt
mm-hmm.
personally that I wanted to be involved.
Mm-hmm. And what was your basic training like?
Well, actually, we were up and we did the exercise and the marching, and the only thing I remember very distinctly was we got an attack of measles in the company, and there were quite a few of them wound up over in the hospital, but they were usually the older people. I was, of course, among the youngest, because
mm-hmm.
you had to be at least 21,
mm-hmm.
to enlist in the service. And I was 22 when I enlisted, because that was 1943, so I would have been 22. And when I, so I was among the younger ones. When I actually enlisted, I was 21. I turned 22 in May, but I enlisted in February, so I was 21. I have a tendency to add that year on when it comes January. I just struck 21 from whatever year it is. So I was 21 when I enlisted, and my husband was 21 when he enlisted, and he was in a year at the time that we met. He'd already been in service a year. So he was in a little bit longer than I was. And so we worked together there in the office for quite a little while before he got up from the berth to ask me out to dinner one night. He knew I had a 3-day pass and I was going to go home for 3 days. And he asked me if I was going to eat. I said, yes, I'm going to eat. I always eat. So he took me to dinner in the theater and put me on the bus to the home. And we became, constant companions, because there wasn't a whole lot to do on the base. So what you did, you worked, and then you usually went, we used to go back to the office, because there were quite a few of us that we'd go back to the office and work at night, and then he'd get me back to my barracks before a curfew, because we had a 10 o'clock curfew, if I remember correctly. But of course, you got up pretty early in the morning, so he would get me back for my curfew. So we were pretty constantly together until when he was transferred out. He went to Denver, Colorado, and from there he went over to India. I'm sorry. He went over to India, so he spent most of his service in India, working in an office over there.
Now, how did you end up doing teletype? Did they?
They needed. I was a clerk typist, and they needed teletype operators, and as a clerk typist, I was the. That was, just a little bit different than using the typewriter. In fact, is to, I know, to qualify for, after I got out of the service and was working down there in Boca Raton, Florida, in order to qualify as a permanent member, you had to pass your exam, and we had to take the typing test in order to qualify, which was quite a problem for some of them. I had the shift supervisors beside myself, and they did the shifts, and I did the daytime, and the three of us, in order to qualify, we were the only, I guess we were only civilians. But if we had to take the typing test, and of course they had been using, I don't know whether they had been typists before, but I know they had to take it a second time.
Oh, really?
And yet they were very, very fast on the teletype. They were really good teletype operators.
How are the two machines different? I guess I don't know.
Not a whole lot of difference, because you've got your teletype machine is a lot like your computer, you know, and you have extra keys on there
And with a teletype machine, we cut tapes. And then we transmitted tapes. And I used to, in the evening, because we had for speed, I used to have, of course, my best typist cut the tapes. Mm. And then I'd have, usually my military personnel wasn't that fast on the typewriter or on the machines, and I'd have them transmit, because we had to transmit to the central office, and I would have them do the transmitting of all the mail from the headquarters. Mm-hmm. And and when you transmitted, you approved and stopped and made corrections if necessary.
Well, what kind of information were you sending back and forth while you were in the military?
Normally what you were sending for that part of it, you would be sending how many people you had on base, and transfers, and all the information that they that you had to centralize and get in. So
you're just sending it to like headquarters or
headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. And then you said there were 24. You're there 24 hours, or somebody was.
Yeah.
Did you have rotating kind of shifts, or were you
always
on daytime?
Well, yes. What I used to do, I scheduled my people in such a way that I had someone on duty at all times. Now, there was one shift that I just used one person on, and I had a senior military man is what he was. He was on the elderly side, but he had planned on when he got out, he was going to be an undertaker.
Oh.
And he wasn't too fast on the teletype machine, but he could handle it well, and so I used to use him on that shift. And then we would also have to go back and proof everything that had been sent out, and make sure that there were no errors. So we used to use that shift for proofing the daytime work.
See. Now, when the Army changed it from the WAAC to the WACS, well, first of all, how did you feel about the auxiliary kind of status? Weren't paid as much? Is that
no? But the pay was the same. In fact, there really wasn't any big change. It was just a change from, you just drop one of the A's instead of WAAC. F, it was, or W-A-C, I guess it was. It was just W-A-C.
So that's the only real change you noticed,
that
huh?
That was really the only change I noticed, because then instead of being auxiliary, we were actually part of the service. And up to that time, we were just, a little bit more than what I had been before, because I had actually belonged to the the home.
The home guard kind of thing.
Yeah, and I had been a member of that, where you did the drilling and so forth. So when I got in, a lot of the drills and so forth I was familiar with because we had done those.
So that probably helped through boot camp,
it probably did. And there were just so many of us, for some reason, chose for administrative school, and it probably had to do with our work background, what we had done.
Right.
And so I went to the... I never passed up. Anytime they offered me additional training, I always took it. I felt you could never know too much.
That's right, free training.
Yeah.
Use it somewhere in life, probably.
Oh, yes.
Now, who were your instructors while you were at basic training? Did you have men or women?
No, they were women. Mm-hmm. They were women.
Mm-hmm.
The only time, when we would get onto a field, you would have we were a separate corps, mm-hmm. even on the different fields. But then we were detailed out to the different companies. Mm-hmm. Our corps was operated as a squadron and as a group. Mm-hmm. And any promotions and anything had to come through the group. We could be recommended from wherever we were, mm-hmm. but final approval came from within. And I think they were limited to ranks because they're about the only ones that had any rank had to do with the group itself that ran the women's mm-hmm. part, mm-hmm. because most of us that worked out in the field, we didn't get ranks.
Mm-hmm. And when you were working out in the field, it was, I would assume, men and women, everybody was kind of working together.
You worked together.
Mm-hmm. Was it sort of just like a regular office job?
It was like an office.
Yeah,
it was like an office. Mm-hmm.
Did you, now once you're out of basic training and you're actually, you know, working somewhere.
You're working somewhere, but
right.
then you, but you always went back to your own place for meals.
That's right.
And you had your own barracks.
Mm-hmm. And what were your barracks like, or what were your living conditions like?
The barracks, most of them had bunk beds with where you a lower or upper mm-hmm. bunk. And the only ones that were in rooms were the people from the corps there.
Mm-hmm.
You would have one in each area that she was more or less supposed to be in charge. And of course, you took your exercises and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the hours that you had to work, and I don't remember how many 3-day passes you could get, but you didn't get those very often,
mm-hmm.
and those of course had to be approved by wherever you worked, as
right.
well as by your commanding officers,
mm-hmm.
and so any leave or that type of thing was handled right there.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do with your free time, like when you would get done with work? And did you have time to do stuff?
I loved to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, they had the Red Cross? There was an organization in town that had a free dance, one or 2 days a week for the military personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my girlfriends and I used to always go to those dances. We loved the jitterbug.
Mm-hmm.
and then we had on the field there was a place that one night a week, I guess it was, that they had people come in from town to dance with the
mm-hmm.
soldiers, and we always went to that too. So I was able to go dancing when I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota,
mm-hmm.
about 5 times a week.
Oh, wow.
So we kept ourselves busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would do it.
Yeah.
Huh.
There was, I know there was a young group of soldiers up there, they're buddies, and they used to dance with the two of us as much as they could.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd meet them there, and we'd dance with them, and we'd go home on our own because we just strictly liked to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used to dance, and otherwise, we just kept fairly busy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you transfer with the same group of women everywhere, or
no,
by yourself?
No, for some reason or other, they always transferred me by myself.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to be that they need one person, and I'd hit the qualifications,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be transferred by myself. The only time I went with more than just by myself was when I enlisted.
Mm-hmm.
There were three of us, I think, that enlisted in Fort Worth at the same time. And then, of course, they brought in people from other places.
Right.
And that was the only time I was transferred in a group.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I was always transferred by myself.
Was that hard when you get to a new place, or was it,
hard
to meet people?
Everybody was pretty much in the same boat, so it was easy to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I never had any problem making friends. It was always easy.
Right. Are you still in touch with anybody that you met during this time?
No. Mm-mm. Not any of the military personnel that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I still am in touch with some of the people I worked with as a civilian,
right.
But no, none of the military personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Just my brother.
Yeah.
And in touch with him, of course.
Huh. And what was your pay like? I mean, were you making more as a civilian before you
enlisted? $21 a month.
Wow. And how much were you making before? When you were...
Before... pays weren't too good back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, I made, and I was considered I had a good job, I made 35 cents an hour, or 50 cents an hour, one or the other. I might have actually got up to 50 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that was considered good pay.
Mm-hmm.
So were you making more in the military?
No.
No, it goes down.
No,
huh?
No. $21 a month? No.
Yeah,
now, when I became a teletype operator, I made more.
Uh-huh.
Because we did the Western Union,
mm-hmm.
we got a bonus from Western Union. And I don't remember just what that was. I think it was probably something like $10 a month,
mm-hmm.
$10 or $15 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important.
Right. But you weren't paying for food or housing or anything
no,
like that.
No, food and clothing was furnished,
mm-hmm.
but
you still use it pretty quickly, huh?
You wanted hose.
Yeah.
And which we once they furnished were pretty bad.
I've heard about those from everybody.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nobody liked them.
No, and you preferred your own underwear.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, I talked to so many women in other branches of service and why they didn't join the Army, and they'll be like, have you seen the underwear they gave you in the Army? That was one of the reasons why they didn't want the Army.
Yeah, the Army wasn't too, the clothing wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
It was, you shorten the skirt, mm-hmm. and, actually, I had my uniform just hanging over in the closet
today.
I don't know. We had a last year out here at the senior center out here in Okemos. We had a day where they asked all the people that had military service if they had their uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a luncheon,
mm-hmm.
and they brought our uniforms and. Picture of us,
mm-hmm.
in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us that were in service.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just brought mine home and had to still hang in the closet there.
Huh. Do you remember, was there any sort of emphasis on trying to look feminine or stay feminine or look ladylike?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
Did you ever hear any rumors or stereotypes about women in the military?
Oh, not really.
Mm-hmm.
I guess people that didn't know us felt that some of them were loose, but
mm-hmm.
I only remember one girl that got sent home because, well, she got pregnant,
mm-hmm.
but she was a young, innocent kid,
mm-hmm.
and probably she was really a very nice little girl. She probably fell in love with this guy, and,
mm-hmm. That's sad.
And it was very, very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But, and she maybe hadn't even dated much as this day.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's that you don't really remember. So I keep reading things or hear different things that the WACs especially had this reputation, and that they were, like you said, loose, and that somebody had to actually come in and say,
no,
you know, you need to stop saying this. It wasn't true.
It wasn't true, because
right.
they, most of them were very careful
right.
of who
well,
they
like
went anyway. With, and
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. probably a lot of the fellows would have liked to have gone with them. they normally were pretty selective who they went with.
Mm-hmm.
And
how did men treat you in the military? I mean,
I was always treated with respect.
Mm-hmm.
I was always treated with respect. The officers I worked for were always very, very nice, and they appreciated a good worker.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always a good worker. So.
Right. So nobody seemed resentful that women were in this male kind of world.
I never ran into any resentment.
That's great.
But I was with the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with your Air Force, it would be a little bit different than being with the regular Army.
Mm-hmm.
As a rule, you had I don't like to say it, but usually a little more intelligent people working with the Air Force, because a lot of them were college graduates,
right.
and so I think, you know, there was really an advantage being with the Air Force. The jobs were tougher. I mean, you had to have more training in order to do the jobs, so you would have had, so it just makes sense.
Now, did you, since you were with the Air Force, did you get to fly around places and that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. No, I was only in an airplane when I was in the military. I was just trying to think. While I was in the military, I flew on leave one time when I was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to, there was a plane going up, and I was visiting a family of a boy I had dated in the service, and I was able to fly up and fly back. And then the only other time was we had the glider pilot training there at Shepherd Field. And I dated, it actually had to be the same fellow. He came from Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me up in a two-seater plane, private plane, that's from the little airport that was just north of the base there.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first time I'd ever been in a plane.
Oh, wow.
And that was exciting to me, because I had never been in a plane. And then a two-seater, those are little
yeah.
planes, and you feel like you're, you know, like you're flying.
Yeah.
But that's the only two times that I was in a plane. Of course, I was always transferred by train.
Right.
I had one mix-up because of traveling by myself, and my name is a little different, so And I have run into men named Laverne, so, mm-hmm. Which is my middle name. And I got on this train at night, and I think they put me on the train about 11 o'clock at night. And when I got down to New Orleans, I went to the man at the porter, and I said, I think something's wrong here. I said, and he looked at my ticket, he looked at me, he says, uh-huh. And we had a layover about 4 or 5 hours. He says, I'll take care of it before you come back. They had put me on a, they had taken and converted cattle cars, I guess it was, and had put bunks in it, or, you know, the hammocks, mm-hmm. I should say, instead of bunks. And they were transferring soldiers, and they had them in there, and they had me listed to be in one of those. So when I came back, it was all straightened out, mm-hmm. and just put on the record.
Wow.
But that's the only time I had quite a mixed up. Thank right. goodness I realized what it
yeah.
was before.
It would have been a long trip the other
oh,
way.
Oh, it would have been a long trip. Oh, I'm sure that they would have done something to people on the train would have done something to straighten it out.
Right.
But it would have been a lot more difficult than
yeah.
the way it was handled.
Now, how much did you all know what was going on in the war? I mean, were you kept pretty much up to date?
Pretty much up to date. We, mm-hmm. we pretty much were up to date as to what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had your radios, and
mm-hmm.
and we had our own little lounge recreation center that
mm-hmm.
you know where you could go and play cards and socialize.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always fortunate. I always made friends with people that in the barracks where I was.
Mm-hmm.
You can always find people that like things that you like,
right.
if you're willing to put yourself out a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, you always had the, you know the movies occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And I always enjoyed movies because my father was a theater manager.
Oh, really?
And so I grew up in the movies. I
mean,
because I remember the first Talking movie.
Wow.
Huh. And then when the Seven Commandments, Ten Commandments, I'm sorry, I don't want to say seven. When the Ten Commandments was made into a movie, and I guess that was the first, colored movie.
Hmm.
But I remember Al Jolson in the first Talkie.
Hmm. What about when Gone with the Wind came out? Do you remember
I remember Gone with the Wind. Oh, yes, I remember Gone with the Wind. My girlfriend and I, we sat through it twice.
Really?
Yeah, we sat through it twice.
It's my favorite all-time movie ever. So.
Oh, yes. I love that. The fact is, even I saw it not too many years ago on television.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, it's a good movie.
It is.
Some of the older movies that I thought were terrific when I was young, I've seen them
mm-hmm.
later. And the acting was terrible, and as far as being beautiful and so
mm-hmm.
forth, the makeup and
yeah.
all was not that good, particularly the old black and white ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, gee, and we thought that was really something. But Gone with the Wind, it still is a wonderful
held
movie.
Up well. So, did you have a hard time getting used to the military life? Or was it easy transition for you?
It wasn't too bad a transition for me. We had moved around a lot when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
We had lived in, Dad being a theater manager had been transferred around. So we had lived in Cisco, Eastland, Beaumont, Port Arthur, Orange,
wow.
Texas, and then back up to Fort Worth. We moved into Fort Worth when I was 9 years old. That's when the Depression
mm-hmm.
hit.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to Fort Worth, and my dad lost his job. It was mm-hmm. cheaper to hire a younger man.
Right.
So we moved in with the family, with his mother and father. So there was three families in one house.
Wow.
So you kind of got used to
right. The privacy's not so much there anyway.
No, not too
that
much.
Time.
No, in fact, as my brother and I slept on a fold-out bed in the living room, mm-hmm. I remember at that time that was.
Mm-hmm.
So I had, and then as a girl, as I was growing up, I was the oldest grandchild. My dad was the oldest son.
Mm-hmm.
So I babysit my cousins, and I lived with two different aunts
mm-hmm.
and my mother and my dad. And
mm-hmm.
so I had moved around quite a bit. And, but it wasn't. Wasn't
that shocking, huh?
No, no. No, you learn and get along pretty good.
Yeah. And when you were doing the teletype while you were in the military, did you get, like, secret information? You know what I mean? Did good stuff come through sometimes?
Well, we did get things that came through in code.
Mm-hmm.
And I never bothered to. I mean, I always called the fella down from the upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and he would come down and pick it up and
mm-hmm.
decode it, get it to headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
That we didn't. We just handled it as a coded
right.
message.
Uh-huh. And did you ever get things like notifications to give to a family about a death or anything like that?
No.
Western Union?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't anything
no.
you had to do?
No, that wasn't.
Okay.
I wonder, that might have come in as a coded message, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Where that would be
mm-hmm.
transmitted, but no, not that I know, not that I remember. I don't remember it, and I think that's something that you would
I would think so.
Remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, where was your favorite place that you were stationed?
Oh, I didn't imagine. Actually, I liked Boca Raton,
mm-hmm.
which was, of course, the first place that I went to, because we were they had taken over a hotel right down on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and while our windows were all covered and everything, but once the lights were out, you could peek through the window and see the moon on the
mm-hmm.
On the water,
nice.
And that I always liked. And of course, that's a wonderful beach down there. That beach was used for racing years ago.
Yeah.
They used to have races on that beach. It's so, such a wide beach.
Huh.
So I think that I enjoyed that of all the places that I was at.
And you mentioned a hurricane while you were down there? Was that?
Well, no, that was when I my last year that I was there,
mm-hmm.
That was down at these places. That was not at Boca Raton. That was the other place that I was. Oh wait, that was Boca Raton.
Hmm.
Oh,
Daytona Beach was the one I really liked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Daytona Beach was the one I really liked. When I was at Boca Raton, one weekend, there were three or four of us took bicycles, and we rode bicycles from Daytona Beach up to the next town up. Mm-hmm. And it's not like riding on your road here, because you get the sand up onto the road. We got back, and when we got back, the muscles in my legs had collapsed. I had to go to work, and I had problems getting on the bus that
really
went around the station. They just wouldn't work. I had to pull myself up onto the...
Wow. I bet you were sore for many days after that.
Uh-huh. I wouldn't even remember for the one day, but I'm sure it lasted a few days.
Yeah.
That was quite a long trip up there, up and back. And of course, once you get up there, you have to come back. So.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, when you said you were at Air Force bases, did you ever run into the women pilots, the WASPs?
No, I never saw one when I was in service.
Hmm.
I never saw one.
Well, do you have any good stories that you wanted to tell, or anything else we haven't really covered?
No, I think that just about pretty much covers my service.
Well, I wanted to ask, I remember now, after you met your husband and then he was transferred to India, how were you able to stay in contact with them through letters frequently?
We only corresponded for a very short time, and then we got together after he got out of the military, and I was working down there in Louisiana, and I sent him a Christmas card. And he invited me to come up and meet the family, because I hadn't met the family. And he lost his father. Actually, he got back from the military just in time. He got in there, and his father died that next day. So he had lost his father in January, and January of 46, I think it was in February 47, and met the family, and he asked me then, he came to bring me in. He gave me his grandmother's room, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, I went back up in June and took instructions. I had already taken instructions once before. I was Protestant, he was Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be married in the church, he had to go through So I went back up in June and took instructions, and then we were married in August. Then I went back home for a short period of time to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And we were married on August 2nd, 1947.
Mm-hmm.
For a few years.
Yeah. Do you remember what it was like when we found out the war ended, or like VE Day first and then VK Day?
Yes.
and we were just elated. We were just elated when it happened. I was there. And of course, we didn't know, you know, at that point, we didn't know how much longer we'd be in service.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I don't know just how they chose who would get out when.
Mm-hmm.
They just notified me that, you know, I was going to be discharged. So I was sent to Fort Sam Houston because of being from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was discharged on Thanksgiving Day.
Hmm.
And I remember riding, taking a, I think I rode a bus home from, in fact, as I'm sure I took a bus home from Houston to Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only, without work for about less than a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to work at the air training command.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So it sounds like working for the military was a great, you know, a good job to have afterwards.
Yeah, I think it was a good job. In fact, as when I got out, I felt I was better qualified to do that than get a civilian job.
Mm-hmm.
So, rather than, you know, then I think if I'd gone back, I'm sure if I'd gone back to Montgomery Wards, they would have hired me, but I didn't even try.
Right.
No, because I knew they needed someone, mm-hmm. and I had the experience they needed, so I didn't seem, you know, it just seemed like the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So.
Well, how do you feel about women in the military today and all the different roles that they are taking on today?
Oh, I think it's all right.
Mm-hmm. What about women in combat?
If that's what they want to do, then more power to them.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about your military?
It's our country too.
That's right.
We need to protect it too. So I mean, it's not you know, strictly one-sided.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, would you do this thing all over again? I mean, would you do it all again?
Oh, I'm the same circumstances as I probably would have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those, you don't say, I regret doing it. No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have met my husband.
That's right.
I'd probably still be down in Texas.
Mm-hmm. So definitely you got to travel a lot more, it sounds like, because of starting in the military than the rest of your life. That's great. Well, I don't really have any other questions, but if you had anything else that you wanted to talk about that I didn't remember to bring up, or
no, no, I'm still busy. I belong to the Capital Area Lace Makers,
mm-hmm.
and
these are just beautiful. These are the ones that you've done.
Yes,
that's beautiful.
Well, I've always done handwork all my life, and mm-hmm. so. I have to keep my hands busy,
mm-hmm.
so I've done handwork, and we volunteer. We work at the Wharton Gift Shop, and with the Act One over the Wharton,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the bridge director out at the Okemos
mm-hmm.
Senior Center. So I keep busy.
Yeah, I guess so. I just read that they're trying to make bridge an Olympic sport. What do you think about that?
I'm kind of surprised they haven't.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised, people that play bridge, some of them, I mean, they just live it.
Mm-hmm.
They think nothing of playing four and five times a week.
Wow.
and going to the tournaments and everything.